a summary of the news. China has called for peace, dialogue and denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula in an attempt to ease rising tensions with North Korea. The comments were made by the Foreign Minister Wang Yi after talks in Beijing with the US Secretary of State John Kerry. Mr. Kerry has been trying to persuade China, North Korea's closest ally, to exert more pressure on Pyongyang. Public health officials in South Wales are stepping up their efforts to contain a measles outbreak. Nearly 700 cases have been reported in the Swansea area. Clinics to give the MMR vaccination are being held across the region today. Lady Thatcher's daughter, Carol, has said she's preparing for a tough and tearful week before her mother's funeral on Wednesday. She expressed gratitude for what she called the magnificent tributes which have been made since her mother died. The retrial of the deposed Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has been adjourned indefinitely. The case was due to begin this morning, but the judge said he felt unease in reviewing it and referred it to another court. Mr. Mubarak is charged with corruption and conspiring to kill more than 800 protesters during the uprising of 2011. Police in Northern Ireland have found firearms, ammunition and a suspected pipe bomb in two cars in Londonderry. Two men have been arrested. An Indonesian airliner has crashed into the sea off Bali after it overshot the runway while landing. The Lion Air Boeing 737 was carrying about 100 passengers and crew, all of whom survived. A prisoner armed with explosives has escaped from a prison in northern France. The man took four guards hostage before fleeing in a car which was later found set on fire. He then took to another vehicle, releasing the hostages one by one as he secured his escape. A solar storm from a massive explosion on the surface of the sun is due to reach Earth today. Experts say it means there's a greater likelihood of seeing the northern lights. And the weather, after a dry start with some sunshine, it'll turn more cloudy as strong wind and rain in the southwest spreads northeastwards, reaching southwest Scotland by dusk. BBC News and weather at 2 minutes past one. And time now for today's early music show, introduced by Catherine Bott.
The opening of Handel's Te Deum for the Peace of Utrecht. It was written as a thanksgiving to mark the signing of a peace treaty which brought to an end the War of the Spanish Succession. This battle over who should be the rightful occupant of the Spanish throne was a complex affair, involving large chunks of the civilised world. It ran for well over 10 years, but I'll try to simplify the story down to a couple of minutes. Here goes. Charles II was the last Habsburg king of Spain from 1665 to 1700. His physical and mental infirmities militated against a successful reign, and the country suffered a significant decline as a major power. If the 16th century had been Spain's golden age, then the late 17th was tin time. But Spain's territorial domains included Milan and southern Italy, the southern Netherlands, the Philippines, and vast territories in the Americas, making it by far the largest European empire. Charles was childless, so he named as his heir the 16-year-old Philip, grandson of Charles's half-sister Maria Theresa and King Louis XIV of France, which would conveniently unite Spain with France. Most European rulers viewed this prospect with alarm, choosing as their candidate Archduke Charles of Austria, son of the Holy Roman Emperor. Who was better? There was only one thing to do in those days, fight. So from 1701, the War of the Spanish Succession ground on, fought on one side by Spanish forces loyal to Philip, France and the Electorate of Bavaria, and on the other, an alliance of the Spanish forces loyal to Archduke Charles, the Holy Roman Empire, Great Britain, the Dutch Republic, Portugal, and the Duchy of Savoy. A decade or more of bloodshed and ruinous expense must have been grim for those affected, But today's military historians have a number of famous battles to chew over from the War of the Spanish Succession, Blenheim, Oudenarde, Malplaquet, and the war produced some splendid military commanders, the Dukes of Villars, Berwick and Marlborough. In 1711, after the death of his older brother, Archduke Charles was upgraded to Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, presenting the alliance with another unpleasing prospect, a Spanish-German superpower in place of a Spanish-French one. It rather looks as if the concept of a balance of power was recklessly innovative for all parties, but that's what was eventually achieved. A series of peace treaties was signed in the Dutch city of Utrecht in the spring of 1713, collectively known as the Peace of Utrecht. Philip became King of Spain, but without access to the French line of succession, and Austria gained most of the Spanish territories in Italy and the Netherlands. In England, Queen Anne ordered some dignified celebrations, which brings us back to Handel's Te Deum for the Peace of Utrecht. Handel had only been in London for about 18 months when the war ended, but he quickly offered music for a special service of thanksgiving held in the brand new St. Paul's Cathedral.
They were turned
the closing movements of Handel's Te Deum for the Peace of Utrecht, with the choir of Christ Church Cathedral, Oxford, and the Academy of Ancient Music, conducted by Simon Preston. It's not certain whether Handel was actually commissioned by Queen Anne to write that Te Deum, or whether he just grabbed an opportunity to impress her and her courtiers with something appropriately regal. But I'd have thought any monarch of the day would have enjoyed the almost peremptory tone of that last movement, with its repeated instructions to the Lord to let me never be confounded. Anyway, it worked. Handel received not only a string of royal commissions, but even a pension from the Queen shortly before she died in 1714. And the work was a bit of a turning point for the newly arrived Handel from first rehearsals onwards. A newspaper reported that many persons of quality of both sexes attended, and that the music was much commended by all that have heard the same and are competent judges therein. The Te Deum is only part of the story, though. Handel also provided an accompanying jubilate as part of the thanksgiving for the Peace of Utrecht. It has a shorter text, which Handel exploited to expand each movement, to offer more expressive opportunities to both vocal and instrumental soloists, and to demonstrate that he could do delicacy as well as bombast.
Thank you. Is mercy's 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 mercy's
four movements from Handel's Jubilate for the Peace of Utrecht, performed by St Paul's Cathedral Choir and the Parley of Instruments, conducted by John Scott. The soloists were countertenor Robin Blaze, tenor Rogers Cuffy Crump, and bass Andrew Dale Forbes. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott. This programme is also available as a download. Handel wasn't the only composer to write something for the Peace of Utrecht. In the second half of today's programme, we're going to hear a complete performance of a shamefully neglected ode by William Croft, Handel's senior by 7 years, who was trained as a child of the Chapel Royal by John Blow. It was written of Croft that the bent of his genius led him to church music, and he became successively composer and master of the children of the Chapel Royal and organist of Westminster Abbey. Croft's ode was one of two works that he submitted to Oxford University in July 1713 for his doctorate, and it was first performed in Oxford in the Sheldonian Theatre. The text was by the Reverend Joseph Trapp, and it hymns not only the joys of peace, but also Queen Anne. With noise of cannon and of rattling drums, our songs of triumph shall resound no more. Crowds shall no longer shout, the conqueror comes, nor in our verse shall warlike thunder roar. A milder, happier strain we now begin, tuning to peace and Britain's glorious queen. Croft wrote music for Queen Anne's funeral and for the coronation of King George I. His music for the burial service has been sung at every state funeral since it was written, most recently at the funeral of Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. Yet in his lifetime, his sacred music was eclipsed in the public mind by Handel's, and sadly, this noble ode has had comparatively few outings. The performance we're going to hear now, with Jos van Veldhoven directing the Netherlands Bach Society, is billed as a world premiere recording. The soloists are countertenor William Towers, tenors Wolfram Latke and Julian Podger, and bass Peter Harvey. By the way, the Peace of Utrecht didn't last long. When Louis XIV of France died in 1715, Philip of Spain announced his intention of claiming the French crown and reclaiming Spanish lands in Italy, which led to the War of the Quadruple Alliance in 1717. I'm off now to find out if that produced any good music.
Thank you. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad. Thank you.
Music show was presented by Catherine Bott. And now, Saturday Classics, presented by a much-loved cellist.
Hello, I'm Matthew Barley. When I was thinking of a subject to centre this programme on, travel seemed an obvious choice. Much of a musician's life is spent on the road, of course, but travel is a subject which is close to my heart in other ways. It can provide opportunities for new experiences, for education, and perhaps even revelation. So, over the next 2 hours, I'll be exploring many of the ways that travel has inspired a host of great composers.
for your delight of birdsong at morning and starshine at night. I will make a palace fit for you and me of green days in forests and blue days at sea. And you shall keep your room where white flows the river and bright flows the broom. And you shall wash your linen and keep your body white in rainfall at morning and dewfall at night.
The Roadside Fire from Ralph Vaughan Williams' Songs of Travel. Bryn Terwyl was accompanied on the piano by Malcolm Martineau. At the moment, I'm in the middle of a tour of Britain, playing Britain. It's early days in the tour. I think I've done 12 out of 100 events, but already I've had some wonderful experiences, meetings with musicians, people, and interesting venues. Some of the very unusual venues, like lighthouses and caves, are coming up in summer. I can't wait. Let's hear part of the work which forms the centre of the tour, Britain's wonderful third suite for cello.